We dropped the language of subpersonalities because people in practice got to the point of believing that they were filled with all of these people who were actual people, and that because they were real people, especially little people, small children, then they needed to be taken care of, and that became the focus of people's practice, rather than what we have subsequently moved to is realizing these are aspects of the ego, not aspects of the personality, which makes it sound like there's an authenticity to it that actually isn't there. So aspects of the of ego lets us see that these are ego identities that manifested as we grew up, but they are not real. And so we do not need to be concerned about them as if they're real children. In fact, what happens is that ego begins to use that sympathy that we have for someone who is small and was hurt or injured or wounded or whatever, begins to use that by masquerading as that small innocent child. And then, of course, the very sincere, kind human being is going to give all of their attention to ego, not realizing they're giving it to ego, but thinking that they're actually taking care of a small child. So that's the kind of thing that I get concerned about. And when we take something that's presented as what is hopefully a useful construct, and then people begin to own it as if it's real. And so there are a couple of them that I have become concerned about recently. And that is that people start referring to themselves as this person, or this human, or that sort of, this being, that sort of label that again creates an impression that if deeply unexamined or unexamined deeply will get a person into big trouble. Because what gets missed in that, so if I talk about myself as this person or this being, who am I? Who am I who's talking about this person? If I don't look into that, then that's going to position me to be a victim to the same ego process that has been dogging me throughout my life, right? Because ego is always going to be there to use whatever it is that we're doing for its benefit. So years ago, I don't even know how many years ago, it became fashionable in our culture, in the U.S. culture, I don't know about other places, not to use the word should. So don't should on yourself. Don't should on other people became the whole deal. So nobody said should. But people went right on living should, even though they didn't say the word should. So there's an impression that I have gotten past something that in fact I am right in the middle of, possibly more in than before, but I really believe, I really think that I'm past it. So I'm not paying any attention to it anymore. Mm-hmm. So ego can go about with all of its shoulds to its heart's content, and I am oblivious to the whole thing. So with that same kind of process, people have started referring to themselves in the third person. So now I'm talking about Sherry. Mm-hmm. Who am I? Who am I talking about Sherry? Who is that Sherry? Do I believe that there is a somebody called Sherry that is actually a real, authentic what? What am I talking about here? So the idea that people have fallen for is somehow disidentifying because because they hear us say in practice. So I might say to somebody, and so you need to be there for him. You have the opportunity to save her from suffering. So then people think, oh, I'm a her that I'm going to save from suffering. Okay? But I'm not a her that I'm going to be saved from suffering. I always go back to that thing of diagramming sentences. So it's really helpful to know what's a noun and what's a verb and what's a, that sort of thing. But if you are rendered incapable of speaking because you're saying noun, 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 verb, noun, verb, then we would say you have missed the point of diagramming sentences. It's just a useful construct. It's just a way for us to step back and see how something works. So yes, we have, now, do I know this? No. Do I suspect this strongly because of my own experience? Absolutely. But don't take this as something that you want to believe. Everything in awareness practice is for our benefit in that we want to prove this to ourselves. We want to use these constructs as ways to see what's happening with us so that we can step clear of the suffering that ego is constantly endeavoring to inflict, right? And so, when I use these tools, say, it's an attempt to point out to people how it works to be a human being and be identified with ego and that whole progression, how we move from authentic being into an ego identification and suffer as a result. I'm not asking people to apply it to themselves. I'm asking for people to look at human beings and to realize so that you can look at a human being and you can see that there is authenticity, true nature, all that is, that which is, divinity, however, life, however we want to talk about, the animating force in a human being. And then we can see how all of these layers of ego, the beliefs, the assumptions, the opinions, the ideas, so we have a phrase like egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, and we have it for a reason because it lays out how that happens, how the layers of separation and the illusion of separation from authenticity happens. Right, so you have egocentricity. So it's me. I'm me, and as that separate self, I need to survive. Conditioning. I'm conditioned. I see the world as I see the world because of karmic conditioning. I have these predispositions that come into life with me. Then I run into these people who have all these ideas and beliefs and assumptions, and I need to navigate that. So I'm putting together my little package of ideas here, right? And I get a lot of rejection. And so then self-hate is born because ego is quick to let me know that if I were the right person, then this wouldn't be happening to me. So now I've moved into ego's world, a dualistic imaginary world, okay? And because I've moved into that, left authenticity behind, don't even remember, have a sense of what that was that was there before this whole process of ego identification started. I'm out there believing that the world that I live in as that identified, egocentric, karmically conditioned, self-hating creature, that's who I am, and that world I live in is real. It's not. So what we have an opportunity for in awareness practice is to begin to move back toward center, to move away from that whole imaginary, ego-fueled world of small, conditioned mind that we thought was real. And with practice, we have a growing sense that there is the awareness that can be aware of that. So we talk about the light room and the dark room. And so I know what it feels like when I'm completely in that imaginary world of ego. And it's awful. It's filled with fear and remorse and guilt and dread and all of these kinds of things that come from an imaginary past in which real things happen and prove that what ego says is true now are true, an imaginary future in which all of these awful things that the voice in my head is telling me are going to happen to me, all of that is going on. I have an increasing awareness that in being aware of that, I'm not actually having that experience. So I identify with it. I go into that experience. It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. I suffer. I come out of that. And there's an awareness. Now I'm in the light room. And none of that's going on. There is no fear. There's no dread. There's no guilt. There's no remorse. I can see that that's an imaginary world. And then I go right back into it again. So I encounter something like hearing. So you have the opportunity to be the unconditional love and acceptance that will end the suffering of a human being. And what apparently people are hearing in that is, now I am going to be the person who is going to save that original human being from that ego world. Yes, we do have the opportunity to do that. And the way we do that is by never leaving this here now. We are not bringing that imaginary world of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate and the imaginary person that all of that happened to. So one of the things that is very difficult for people to get is that's not real. That whole thing is imaginary. Everything that happened to that person. Now, of course, we have the first there's movement, then there's sensation. We have a thought about it. A story that goes with it. We have an emotional reaction to that. And we have conditioned behaviors that go with it. Are we caught in that? Yes, when we are in that imaginary world of ego. But what we're not being asked to do in awareness practice is to fix, change, alter, save anything with that imaginary ego world. What we're being asked to do is to disidentify with that so that we actually are here now with this. And what's here now with this is that original human being, that incarnation, what would happen if you were raised by wolves? You know, who would you be if none of that had ever happened to you? Okay, what we are in touch with is that authenticity, because that's what life is. There isn't any real person that needs to be brought into presence in order to, the real person is waiting for us here in this here now when we come back. So, for example, Fred says, you know, what would be really kind to Fred is if she wouldn't be so judgmental. Or Barbara says, what Barbara really needs in this situation is compassion. We have missed the point. Fred and Barbara have missed the point, okay? There is no real Fred who needs to be treated in a particular way. There is no Barbara who needs compassion. So what Fred's opportunity is to be there when this event happens, to watch all of what egocentric karmic conditioning does in order to come up and drag him out of this here now, where there is nothing but life unfolding, where he's absolutely fine and there is nothing wrong whatsoever, drag him out into this imaginary ego world where he needs something. He needs life to be different for him to be all right. Okay? There is no real Barbara who needs compassion. When the being, the human that we refer to in those other cases, when there is just presence, then there is complete well-being. There is no suffering. But what Barbara gets the opportunity to see in whatever situation where ego says, but there was no compassion for me, which is key. Ego says, but there was no compassion for me and this person who is identified as Barbara, which we can strongly suspect is ego masquerading as an authentic human being named Barbara, then Barbara gets dragged out there into a world, an imaginary world, where people should be different and they should give her compassion. And because they don't give her compassion, she has to suffer. But if she didn't go out into that imaginary world, there would actually be no Barbara. So that would be the place that that we will sometimes say. So, hi, who are you? Oh, my name is Sherry. I'm not Sherry. My name is Sherry. Okay, and I may have 15 different names that I use for the different functions that I perform or the different ways that I have of going about in the world, but that's not to be confused with there is an authentic being that is Sherry. Now, the thing that I'm hoping that this begins a really good conversation as people look at this and see what they see. But the last point that I want to make is, so Barbara needed compassion in that situation. Barbara's opportunity, of course, is to end suffering, to wake up and end suffering, right? And to realize that compassion is. I don't need compassion from anyone or anything else, because compassion is what is. When I'm here in this here now, compassion is. That is my life experience. So the other thing that happens kind of goes back to the believing that there is a real little child who needs something. If Barbara falls into the ego trap of believing now her job as the opportunity to wake up and end suffering for Barbara is to give Barbara the compassion that she needs in every situation, once again, great large missing of the point. Okay, Barbara is going to be dissolved into the present. And so realizing that there's nothing real there to give compassion to, then what we want to focus on is being the compassion that is. And there is no separation. There is only compassion. There is only that which is, and suffering has ended. So when I say you have the opportunity to take care of her, you have the opportunity to be the unconditional love and acceptance for a human being who has suffered, that is simply come back to presence. You don't need to do anything. Awareness practice is not about doing. All we need do is be in the present, and it's taken care of. Suffering has ended. One great benefit of this approach is that it dispels the notion that I need to be the center of everybody's universe. that people need to be thinking and acting from a perspective of making sure that they give me compassion all the time, and that my needs are being met, and that they need to remember what it is that that is important to me, so that they can take care of me in the way that ego has me convinced I need to be taken care of. My teacher used to talk about becoming a social relief. And what he meant by that was that nobody needed to attend to us because we were busy taking responsibility for ourselves. And that taking responsibility for oneself is nothing is as simple as being present. And so with that, then I don't need to spend my life attending to this imaginary person called Sherry. And I don't need to have other people spend their time and energy focusing on taking care of this imaginary person named Sherry in the way that ego would say she needs to be taken care of in order to be all right. So again, I'm hoping that nobody takes this as anything other than an open invitation to look really deeply and closely at these various possibilities that are being presented, and find a greater clarity, and that again we can have as a sangha a discussion that leads us all to clarity about what's going on with these identifications.